Blog Talk Radio.
World, you just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, the most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born talent events and Talk to Me Media. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. This is season 10. I can't believe it. It's been 10 years faithfully doing the show, hanging on by a thread some days. But I am coming out. That is the topic on tonight. That is a half statement. And so we're going to hear from our guests on tonight what they have come out of or what they're coming out from. And so we could take that in many different ways. But before I get into that, I just want to let you know our history on this show. I have over 10,000 listeners, done over 170 episodes, probably more, some I deleted over the 10 years, over 300 guests, non-celebs and non-celebs. And just to name some that have come on and graced this show, which I have been truly, truly honored to have everyone on, has been J.D. Lawrence, Calvin Richardson, Carmichael the Music Lover, Wendell B., C.C. Peniston, Curtis Blow, Melba Moore, Glenn Jones, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Stacey Ladisaw, Christopher Williams, Doobie Powell, Keisha Rainey, Hope Flood, Riff, Gerald Kelly, Capone, FSW, Janice Dempsey, and the producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest. My producer, I've been in the choir for many, many years, a little over 10 years, and he was the only producer I really knew at that time. And he's had a definite and true impact in my life. And with all this going on with the coronavirus, there's been many events, social platforms where we normally get together that we won't be able to do on this year, unfortunately, but we want to stay safe. I do want to send out a birthday shout out. My grandmother, Dorothy Rush Johnson, rest in peace. God rest her soul, sleep in heaven today. Would have been her birthday, June 8th. My friend in Mount Vernon, Kim, her birthday was on the 2nd. My longtime friend of 35 years, Tanya Ashipa, originally of New Haven, but by way of North Carolina, is celebrating her 50th on the 15th. So shout out to all of you and anyone who has a birthday in June. My goddaughter, who's June 1st, lovely Vanterpool. So everybody that celebrated a birthday on this month, I do want to send out condolences to my family and also your family and anyone that has lost people in this COVID 19 and also due to unjust violence, and that could be by anyone, the cops or whoever it might be. Sean Evans, I want to just give another shout out to him, his family, my sister, that was her, might as well say common law husband of over 10 years, my godmother, Catherine Vanterpool, who lost her man, Jim, all in that same week. And my steps, my sister Tammy, who lost her stepdad Otis, all in the same week in April. I can't remember what dates or anything like that, but I just want to send my love and condolences to them. Just to reiterate it, because I have already given condolences, but I just wanted to do it one more time. Also, I want to talk about coming out. And that can mean many things. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, why is this title coming up? And I guess, you know, it is really relevant at this particular time with the memorial of George Floyd, the unrest, the protests. His memorial was just done the other day in, you know, in recognizing his life and the unjust killing by the police officers involved, Derek Chauvin and the other three who finally were charged. And I just thank God, because I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, I have covered so many different shows in regards to unjust violence by the cops, and I've touched on this subject so many times in the past 10 years, have been involved with different social organizations, including the NAACP and different organizations who had asked me to speak on behalf of them and violence and stopping gun violence, et cetera, over the past years. And it's just been so disheartening. And so I guess in this situation, I was a pessimist. I knew I could not walk this year in any protest, but I have covered like the Charlotte event that took place in 2016, et cetera, et cetera. And my heart goes out to George Floyd's family and anyone that has lost a loved one due to the unjust killing of people who are supposed to protect us, who are in authority and given a badge, saying and stating that they will protect the community. Instead, they are protecting themselves. And this is very unfortunate once again. I just want to say rest in heaven, Pamela Turner, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor, Karen Gaines, Chantel Davis, Tatiana Jefferson, and the list goes on and on. And this is, you know, a statement was made. I don't know if it was Will Smith. This is not anything new under the sun. Difference is that we have cameras now on our phones and we can tape it. But even with that, there isn't freedom of speech and freedom for the press to be able to videotape with your own phone that you're paying your own bill for and that you bought. We want to send prayers up to the young lady. I can't remember her name at this time, but she's the one who taped this in the entirety of George Floyd and the violence that he suffered at the hands of this guy, Derek. I'm not even going to call him a police officer. And so we want to just make sure that she is safe wherever she is. You know, God protect her, because black lives do matter. And we shouldn't be guilty before we are processed, before we're given our due time in court. But as we know, this has been history, generation after generation, hundreds of years of injustice, travesty, hatred, violence towards people of color. This is not something that is a figment of our imagination or that we have made up. It is truth. And it goes back too far. And I was getting so annoyed with some of my friends because I just am so sick and tired of hearing about stuff like this. And I said to them, you know, this is going to take an act of God. It's like pulling up blades of grass all over the United States. That's how deep this racism goes back. And so we have to take it step by step. We have to use wisdom because the COVID is still out there. And, you know, you do have families. You do have loved ones that you have to come home to. So you need to take that into consideration and use wisdom and definitely pray in this situation. We don't want people to go out there looting, because looting don't make no sense. What are you gaining from that? Nothing. You might get a little piece of something, material gain, but it has nothing to do with what is going on. You know, we need to have peaceful demonstrations, you know, as much as we can. We don't want to give reason for any of these so-called cops to take action and violently or physically hurt us or anything that they might want to do already. You're just giving them an open door to do that. So I'm just hoping and praying people use wisdom. I'm so sorry for the people who have gotten hurt trying to have a peaceful demonstration, which is wrong. It is definitely wrong. And so I'm not going to delve too much into all the scriptures I wrote down, but I do want to read some of them. Let me start with Revelation 6:1. It says, "Then I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come." Revelation 6:3, "When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come." Revelation 6:5, "When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand." Okay, so we want to come. We want to come into a right state of mind when we are protesting. We want to come into the right understanding of why you're out there. We want to come to the Lord as best as we know how and that we can. And we do that. It says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." How do you come to the Father? How do you receive Jesus? How do you get through him? Well, you're going to have to look this up on your own. Romans 10:9-11. You can read that to yourself. Let it soak in a little bit. If you don't understand it, ask somebody that is a little more seasoned on what that means. You can speak it out loud to them, a witness, someone, just to acknowledge the fact that you have accepted Christ and you believe he died on the cross for your sins. And that's one good way of starting. So I do want to move on because my first caller is on the line. But before we do that, I want to read his bio. And then I'm going to go to a quick break, let you hear some of his music, and then I'm going to click him in. Richmond Punch is a violin virtuoso who delivers a riveting, dynamic, explosive, and powerful performance. A native of Dallas, Texas, Richmond graduated from the top-rated arts magnet Booker T. Washington High's Performing Arts and Visual Arts. He honed his craft and earned a Bachelor of Music degree from the famous Juilliard School of Music in New York and received a Master of Music degree from the prestigious Yale University, which is right up here here in New Haven. Richmond has produced 4 CDs in various genres that include classical, hip-hop, jazz, and gospel. The titles of his 4 CDs, which are available online everywhere, are Gospel Covers, Finally, Back That Violin Up, and Hymns for Bothams. Hymns for Bothams is what you're going to hear on today. Throughout his career, Punch has traveled the world, dazzling audiences as large as 15,000 from Mexico to Cuba. Richmond is a featured entertainer for the Disney Cruise Line Entertainer, Dallas Cowboys Club, and Dallas Love Field Airport. He is also a feature on Amazon's Prime, The Focus. Richmond has opened up for Idina Menzel from Disney's Frozen and has entertained Hollywood royalty and other celebrities that include Viola Davis, if you don't know who that is, How to Get Away with Murder, Hello, was coming back on this week. Yay! Danny Glover, Stephen Forbes, Damon, Shark Tank John, Omari Hardwick, LaToya Luckett, Morris Chestnut, we all know who he is. Oh, my goodness. Jewel, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Ross Perot, Kirk Franklin, Kirk Whalum, Nolan Ryan, Emmett Smith, and Gary Payton, just to name a few. He has also played backup for Kenny G and Diana Ross, who I believe live in Connecticut. I know Diana does. He currently resides in Atlanta. So this is a wonderful, I am so honored to have this man on, and also the next guest who's going to be coming on. I'm going to play a little bit of his music, Him for Bopham. Bopham. I had to stop it halfway through. I am going to click in my guest, Richmond Punch, and he's going to tell you where you can find his music, and if you want to continue listening to this. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's Cherie.
Yes, oh, Cherie.
I'm doing well. Cherie, yes.
Awesome.
Yes, so thank you so much for calling in, Richmond. I hear a little something in the background. Is it on speaker?
No, ma'am. I have it directly to my headphone.
Oh, okay. Because it's going, it's a hello? Little
is that
in and out.
Is it any better now?
Yes, much better. Much better.
Okay.
Okay.
I turned
I'll
the
let you know
up.
If I can't hear you.
Okay.
But, yes, I read your bio. Tell me a little bit what's inspired you as a youth to pursue music.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I come from Dallas, Texas. I came from a single-parent home, and the public school system in Dallas really helped to change my life with a public Montessori school that they had at the time, trying out a new program, giving African-Americans and brown and black children a chance to succeed. And so it wasn't so easy. It was a waiting list, but off the waiting list, we got in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And so what was it like being at Juilliard for you and Yale? I mean, Yale is one of the most prestigious colleges you can go to. I know I've visited there many times. It's old looking and spooky, but it is a great college, I'm told, very expensive. So what was it like being at both of those schools?
Oh, sure. Yes, ma'am. I know Juilliard itself got recently redone since I attended, but it was such a great environment to be in. I got to study with great teachers. I got to play in Carnegie Hall. I got to experience New York City. I got to find out a little bit about entrepreneurship, whether it was playing a gig. They had a black orchestra that I played with and guest appear with, or whether I was playing in the subway. So I got like a full kind of experience from school to career from being at Juilliard. And then also Yale for my master's was an amazing time. And I could also kind of chill out while still acquiring, first rate education.
Okay. So what stood out the most, other than what you already stated, that helped you get like an understanding of music? Because being able to play, learning to play, but having an understanding of that music so that it is in your soul, is different. Did they play a role in that?
Oh, for sure. The level, first of all, I want to talk about the level of discipline. Discipline is off the charts, the level, what they expected of you to be there, be on time, be ready. You know, when we played at Carnegie Hall, you know what I mean? It would be the kind of situation where if you were late to the setup, you missed opportunity. Forget about Carnegie Hall. You know, I remember the one time my roommate who studied with Winston Marsalis, and he invited me to Winton's house. There was very much a be ready kind of attitude, especially in New York.
Right.
Like, be ready. You don't know what's going to come. My roommate called one day and said, I knew he studied with Winston Marsalis, but he said, we're going to Winton's house. And I had to be ready. I wasn't dressed. I was, you know, like, but be ready. And another time he also called me to go to Clark Terry's house. The legendary, both of those legendary trumpeters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So I know that was just like, wow for you, you know, and it definitely was setting, and trailblazing the path for where you would be going, and where you are right now. And the impact that you have made, because I've listened to some of your stuff, I've watched you a little bit of the posts that you have put up, and it's just a wonderful thing what you are doing. So explain to me what Hymn of Bothan means. What is that?
Well, yes, ma'am. So Hymn for Bothan John, who was killed by a police officer in Dallas, Texas, while sitting in his own home. That national case that a lot of us all know, you know, that's what the song was for, because I firsthand experienced You know, these protests that are going on right now, you know, when Botham was killed, it affected so many people in Dallas and beyond, of course, his family being from the islands, from Trinidad and Tobago. I went out and marched myself after Botham was killed, and until, you know, seeing it all the way through to the trial, I was asked at one point to participate in his family's foundation's gala. So I also had a march, but I also played during continuous protests during the trial, even on the steps of the courthouse I performed, as well as did help with the fundraiser as the feature entertainment for their gala. And she just wrote me a message the other day, you know, his mother saying, I wish I could be out there protesting right now. You know, yeah. I think maybe they might be in Trinidad and Tobago, but yeah, they,
Wow.
Yep.
That's really beautiful. That is really beautiful because you have such a great influence and impact, and you're sharing your gift, which leads me to the next question. You know, given the COVID-19 and the murder of George Floyd and, you know, the person that you mentioned, Botham Jern, you know, do you think that your gift, you're using it for healing, change, love? You know, what is the goal when you get out there and you're involved in these nonprofits or, you know, helping to uplift your audience?
Well, I really feel like I can try to make a difference, whether it's the healing impact of music, you know, being able to heal and bring calm amidst this storm while we are seeking the change, or whether it's me participating in online fundraisers, like I did one last week for Big Brothers Big Sisters, you know, which helps, of course, the young men and women, children of single parents. You know, I'm just trying to do my part.
Sister. I know exactly. I know exactly what that is. But go ahead. What would you say?
Yes,
I'm sorry about that.
No. I'm just trying to do my part. You know, one of my next goals, I want to specifically do a fundraiser for a Black organization that's doing social impact. I think there's an actual organization called Social Impact or something like that. And there's also the ACLU and countless others. I would like to do that next so I can directly, once again, contribute to what's going on and to change.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, where I come from, you don't see a lot of violinists. You definitely don't see ones that are, you know, famous and have worked with so many different people in the industry and have made such a great impact. You know, Carissa Dow, I met her, you know, performing at the McDonald's Gospel Fest years ago. She's a violinist, but I don't run into that, you know, that much in the areas that I have come from. So it's inspiring and intriguing to see someone such as yourself making a great impact. And just after reading your bio, I'm like, wow, you know, look what God has done. You know, how do you feel about, you know, coming out? What does that mean to you? And what have you come out of?
Well, one of those things I wanted to actually mention was you're coming from New Haven. And you were talking about that and how much you didn't see it so much. But I just wanted to give some major shout out and props to New Haven, because while I was there at Yale, I got to teach a summer camp to New Haven kids one summer. So I was, during that time, I was able to try to make a difference in New Haven, and I just found it such an amazing city. You know, I wasn't there at the time with one of the Bush daughters was there at the school at the same time. It was just a great time to be in your city, and I just want to give a shout out to New Haven. But to you,
well,
ask
thank
me,
you, but I don't live in New
out.
Haven. I'm from Stamford, Connecticut. Richmond, I lived a little bit of everywhere. So I'm from Stamford, but I've lived in New Haven, Bridgeport, Norwalk. Ohio, D.C. I mean, I've been a little bit of everywhere. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
Yes, so that's all right.
Yeah, New Haven was the first place that I saw, and I need to answer your question, but New Haven was the first and only place that I saw Isaac Hayes live.
Right. Okay.
Before he passed. Before he passed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how has coming out, what does that mean for you? I mean, what did you come out of? Because I know it's a broad statement.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know,
no.
So what does that mean to you?
Well, now having had a second to think about it, you know, just the other day, my wife and I were out in Atlanta, and I was like, let's go to the Ponce Market. It's like a market, you know, it opened back up since with the reopening. And I'm like, we're going to go out there and shop. Well, God had another plan for us in this,
right,
what you're speaking of, in come out. We came
right
out to just buy and participate in the Ponce Market, but they were starting a protest at that very moment at the Ponce Market, from Ponce Market to the Piedmont Park. So what started
okay
out is we're gonna go there and we're gonna exercise, and that's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna have an ice cream, and then turned into forget all that. We start heading
right
towards, somebody said the protest. I was like, okay, babe, we have to go to the protest. They said they're only going to the park. It's not that far. Let's go. Okay, we get over there to the protest gathering. Let me tell you, Miss Cherie, they bless. We get to the waiting point, just the gathering point. Mr. Reed, they come out with pizza. They come out with pizza, ice cream,
wow,
water, in like
that's
glass,
nice,
plastic, aluminum, like water, and signs, and they're ready to protest. And the people of all these colors, all these people, and we walked a mile, or however they look there, and then back, and we protested, which was also something that was on our heart, which we've been scared to do because of COVID-19, you know, to
right
do so much. I had gone out a couple of times and played before the protest in Atlanta. I had marched in Atlanta for a little bit, but I didn't follow them the whole route because I was scared about COVID-19. But I'm telling you, we walked that mile. And not only that, we led the chance.
Uh-huh.
We led the chance. Because at different, you know, at different points, if somebody can't hear you, there has to be a leader, at, you know, every
yes
few feet. And so
mm-hmm
we were sitting there leading it. So it was just profound.
Wow, that is just awesome. It is just awesome, especially to know you're a part of something and it's coming from the heart. It's not about ratings or whoever is seeing you. It's because that's who you are inside. And you know, that's why it just happened to be the way that it did, you know, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to, just before we get off, I want you to let everyone know, I know one of your CDs focus is on Amazon Prime, but where can we find the rest of your music other than Amazon and YouTube?
Oh, yes, ma'am. So you'll see my music on iTunes, Amazon, you know, Spotify. I'm also on Tidal, you know, with Jay-Z, I believe, created Tidal. It's on basically all platforms. And I have on my website. My website is one of the key places you can go to see all those links. Just go to richmondpunch.net. And if you're buying the music, him for both of them included, you go to richmondpunch.net/merch.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. It was truly an honor and just a gift that you have graced Talk to Me Radio. I want you to know to have an awesome, awesome experience continuing on in your journey because you have touched so many people, but you're going to be touching even more. And probably not so much in the way that you're used to touching them. So God be
mm-hmm
with you. Just be careful, you and your wife out there. And thank you so much for your musical contribution to African Americans and to, you know, the world in general. I give you praise for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And I pray that you'll be safe out there.
Yes. Yes, I'm trying my best. I keep my gloves and my mask on. I don't know about any social interacting right now. I'm just not comfortable with it. But, you know, God will let me know when it's time.
Yes, ma'am. You know? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
There you have it. That was Richmond Punch. Please go back and listen to the show. Share this with someone, your friends, family. It usually takes about 15 minutes to upload after the show has closed out. I am going to give some announcements, but before I do that, I want to just play a little bit of music. Safe in His Arm by Vicky Winans. That is my girl. I love her. I've interviewed her several times, and she is the most down-to-earth famous person I have ever met, besides Donnie McClurkin. But to God be the glory, Safe in His Arm, Vicky Winans, and play a little bit, come back, give you some announcements, and then I'm going to read the bio for my next caller. Well, I have to stop. You have tuned in to Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. This is our 10th season. God is good. We are talking about coming out on tonight. And I did, you know, wanted to start off the show with, you know, giving my condolences and talking about what happened with George Floyd and so many people that have lost their lives in this country, knowing and unknowing, because, you know, there are many, I'm sure, that have lost their lives, and we've not had the ability or capability of taping it. But God knows, and believe me, He is the judge, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And believe me, they won't get away with this, even if the charges are bumped up. They have to deal with this. This is something that they're going to have to repent for, and if they don't, when they meet their maker on Judgment Day, they will have to answer for this crime and for these travesties that have been taking place for hundreds of years in our country towards people of color and people of other ethnic groups besides Caucasian people. And so in any case, I do want to start and read the bio of my next caller, Tony Redd, who I'm truly, truly honored as well to be having on my show. Tony Redd started singing at the young age of 12. Songstress Tony Redd is an internationally known award-winning powerhouse performer and recording artist. Tony is the winner of 2 Black Women in Jazz Awards, the Best Jazz Artist in 2014, and the Best Music Video for Close to Me from her 3rd solo project, Catching the Red Eye, produced by Morris Pleasure, former musical director for Earth, Wind & Fire, and former keyboardist for Michael Jackson. She is also the winner of the 2011 Los Angeles-based Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Award for Best R&B Vocalist 2011, voted by over 10,000 listeners, and the Coors Light Award for Best Jazz Vocalist in the state of Texas for smooth jazz radio station The Oasis. In her illustrious career, she has had the honor of performing and sharing concert billings with Najee, Gerald Albright, Jonathan Butler, The Rippingtons, Morris Day and the Time, Alex Bunan, Rick Braun, The Ohio Players, Anita Baker, Kirk Whalum, Maissa, SWV, Everett Harp, The Yellow Jacks, Brian Bromberg, Steve Cole, The Temptations, Warren Hill, Layla Hathaway, The Stylistics, Walter Beasley, Kim Waters, and the list goes on and on. Enough said. That's it right there. I'm going to read the last part so you know which court her. She's made her debut CD, Straight from the Heart, her critically acclaimed sophomore project entitled In the Key of Red, the UK Soul Top 10 charting CD, Catching the Red Eye, and is a featured vocalist on the Bob Baldwin's tribute to Tom Bell CD, Betcha by Golly Wild. And her latest CD project, Her Redness, featuring Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kirk Whalum. I'm going to play a little bit of her music, and then I am going to be interviewing Mrs. Toni Redd. By Ms. Toni Redd. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is your host, Cherie Humphrey. I'm going to click my caller in right now. Hello.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how you doing, Mrs. Redd? I'm honored.
I'm honored to be on your show as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. So I was jamming to your song earlier. I was just started me a whole concert in here today.
Oh, shucks. That sounds good. That's excellent.
Yes, yes. But after reading your bio and your information, I know that your father, Thomas J. Walker, he became your manager when you was a youth, because this is all when it started and him realizing that you had a gift. Was he the one who helped you hone in on the instrument to choose? Because I know it says that you start studying the guitar as well as composing and singing?
Well, no, he was the one, he was like the driving force to push me to keep going. But the person that really helped me hone in on my ability and, you know, to do what I do was my mom, because she believed that I had a gift, and so did my father. But my mama used to go and buy all these albums about all these people from back in the day, and you know, bring them home, and we would just sit down and listen to them. And then she was like, why don't you pick out you some songs and learn them and then sing them? And I'm like, okay. So my mom was,
oh, wow.
Even though, yeah, my mom was really in my life, but, you know, believing in me and pushing me and encouraging me. And some, and, you know,
yeah.
And then my dad, you know, was my management, you know, so, and he was making sure I was safe and protected and taken to everything I needed to do. But my mom was like, you know, really pushing me. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And
yeah.
It's great when you can have that support. The reason why Diamonds in the Rough was birthed really was to give support to children who had gifts and talents, but didn't have that family support, didn't have the mother or the father to push them, you know, and I know what that
right.
means. My great-grandmother
oh, yeah.
pushed me in so many different ways. So, I mean, do you think that that has a critical effect on you and has helped mold you into the person
oh, yeah, because
that you are
my mom,
today?
Of course. My mom,
yes.
it's like, even though she's no longer with us, I lost her about 9 years ago, but I still hear her sometimes.
Sorry,
her spirit
it.
Encourages, because she always oh, my God. Okay, first of all, you know, she used to call me her big gun. This is what she would tell
mm-hmm.
me, you know. She would be like, I'll put you up against anybody because you're just as talented as they are. And I would be like, for
wow.
real? She's like, yeah, baby, you can do it. And she's always
uh-huh.
telling me that. And that gave me
yes.
the courage to believe, you know, in myself. Because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing when I first started.
Right, exactly.
I just wanted to sing, you know. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to get up on stage in front of lots of people. That takes courage.
Yes, it does.
Everybody can't do
mm-hmm.
it. Some people are
no,
very frightened. They have stage fright and deal with all
absolutely.
Kind of insecurities and
yes,
anxieties.
Yes.
I've heard, you know, throughout the years, different artists suffer from anxieties. So my mom saying that to me, just it still gives me courage to this day. It does.
Yes, absolutely. And I think
mm-hmm.
that it's, you know, people who are starting off young in this entertainment business, they need that support, and they need people who are truly going to be honest and trustworthy and that genuinely care for them and going to tell them the truth. I mean,
exactly.
My grandmother was, my great-grandmother was my guiding force and believed in everything that I did. So whether it was crazy idea or not, so somebody
mm-hmm.
somebody has got to be behind you. But in any case, let's move on. We want to talk about, you've gotten some awesome reviews from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, from Just Soul magazine in the UK. When did you know for yourself that you had succeeded in the pursuit of your dreams?
Well, I think, I, you know, you said, when did I know for myself that I had succeeded?
Yes.
Well, let's see. That's a tough one. When did I know? Let me think. When did I know? You know, nobody's ever asked me that question. I
Good.
Guess.
Yes, I'm
well,
the first one.
yeah, you are. I've never, and I've had, you know, a ton of interviews, but nobody's ever asked that question. I
uh-huh.
think when, let's see. Oh, it's so many things changed me as far as, okay, one thing, now, I don't know if it was the thing, but well, one of the first things, I won a citywide talent show in Atlanta when I was 14. And
okay.
I, you know, it was like, what, 16, 17 other girls in the competition, and everybody was older than me. Now, I was 14, and it was a two-day event. And I won the
right.
whole thing. And that's when my dad said, Oh, he said, you're going to be a singer, because I used to want to be a lawyer. I used to think that I wanted to be an attorney growing up.
What?
That's what I was interested in. I know, it's crazy. I was interested in law and
I love lawyer shows, and I don't know, but I remember my dad said, I said, I'm going to be a lawyer. He said, no, you're not. You're going to be a singer. I said, no, I'm not going to be a lawyer. He's like, oh, all right, whatever. And then he was right. He saw the gift in me. He saw that I had talent. And like I said, he and my mom, they just kept pushing me. And so when I entered that citywide talent show in Atlanta and I won, I was like, total shock. Total shock because I was just up there singing, you know. And when they were like, I made the first round and then I won the whole thing the second night and I had a big trophy. And I said, okay, I guess my daddy knew it. I guess he was right. He saw it, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have that protection and someone to continue to work with you and push you, you know, because I can relate a little bit. Not like you. I'm definitely not on that level. But singing since I was a little girl, you know, 5, and being in a talent show and then making my own singing groups. And then one day I'm being picked up by Kashif and my manager, and we're going to his house in Greenwich. So as a kid, 13 years old, I'm thinking I made it. You know, I don't need school no more. I'm done. I don't need no high school diploma. You know, I got my master's now, but this is what I thought at 13. So I can understand how these things can be critical and pivotal moments in a person's life, especially when they're young as you were. And that's just a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, Kashif. Oh, my God, Kashif was huge because he worked with Whitney Houston in the beginning stages of her career. You knew that, right?
Yep.
But so for him to acknowledge you, you knew you had a gift as well. You had a gift just like I did. You did. Kashif, he was huge back in the day. Kashif was the man. He was producing a lot of different people. And,
I didn't
know
it, though.
Big,
We didn't know it, though, Tony. You know, me and the other guys in my singing group, we didn't know. I mean, at least I didn't. I was the youngest one. You know, I'm like, he came home with Freddie Jackson's model from the video. And I'm like, you know, whatever. And we're laughing and telling jokes. And Whitney Houston's in the studio. You know, we're like, who's this bald-headed woman in the corner? And we're laughing and acting silly.
You are kidding me. That's history. That's incredible. I believe you.
You know, when you're a child, you don't understand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, so getting back to you. You know, you've done a lot of nationally acclaimed commercial jingles. You have credits in film. A Good Man Is Hard to Find by Tyler Perry. What was it like working with Tyler?
Well, you know, this is a funny story, and I had an interview about 2 weeks ago, I believe, and I had to tell the story because that is on my bio, and it did happen. But, girl, unfortunately, okay, so I got the call, you know, the night before, and it was the last minute, and because it was the movie that Gladys Knight is also in, A Good Man Is Hard to Find.
Yep.
And so they called and asked, they said, well, we want you to be one of Gladys Knight's background singers. So I said, well, how many background singers is she going to have? And they were like, she's going to have 3. So, and the person that called me, he was also an MD, you know, I had played, he worked with me before, so he knew my voice. So he said, well, you learned the alto part. I said, okay, because it's going to be 2 other girls. I'm like, okay, cool. I got to the Tyler Perry compound, and it's so crazy because as soon as I drove up, here comes Tyler Perry. He walked in front of my car and turned around and was facing me, and I was like, oh, that was so crazy. I'll never forget that. That was that right there. I was like, oh, my God, it's Tyler Perry. He's right in front of my car. What is really going on, people? You know? And it's a trip because I think I got the call around, let me see, let's say maybe it was 5 o'clock that day. I didn't go to bed to about 2-something because I stayed up because I did not know the song that Gladys was singing in the movie. So, of course, I had to download the song. I listened to it 1,000,000 times. And like I was telling people, like, when you ask me to sing a part, because, you know, when I've worked in groups before, you know, I always learn not just my part, but I'll learn the soprano part. I will learn tenor. I learned a tenor part because, you know, I can sing falsetto and then my voice is deep anyway and I can hit the tenor notes. So I've been learning, you know, two or three parts. I don't just learn my part. That's how I used to do it. I would learn everybody's part. So when I got to the studio, the compound, and he walked from my car, I was like, oh, my God, there's something. Anyway, so, you know, they paraded us around the place. We had security. It was very secure, you know, very security heavy. And, you know, and you couldn't just wander around. You know, it, for whatever reason, I had security with me. Whenever I had to move, security was with me. So, anyway, so I got there and have been there all. I got there, I think, 7 o'clock that morning, and I had to go in this room with this long table and sign up on all this paperwork. They had to sign me up for Screen Actors Guild because that was my first time in a movie. Well, not my first time, but kind of having an acting part because I was going to be singing, you know. And so they had to do that and everything, and you know, so I waited. I waited some more and some more. So, like, I got there around 7 a.m., so about 7 p.m. I had been there time just sitting and talking to other cast members that was going to be in the movie, background people, extra, whatever. But I didn't notice. I never met anybody else that said they were a background singer. So I'm pretty much by myself with the security. So when they finally said, okay, we want Tony Redd, and I'm like, here I am. And they, you know, the guy, you know, security escorted me to this, you know, on set. Here walks in Gladys Knight, and she sits right across from me, like one feet away. And that's my first time meeting her, seeing her, and I'm like, oh my God, from Tyler Perry to Gladys Knight, two, you know, icons. So she smiled at me, and I said, I was all nervous. My palms were sweating. Hi, Miss Knight. My name is Tony Redd, and I'm singing background for you. She said, this is exactly what she said. She called me baby.
Wow.
She said, baby, I didn't even know I had a background singer. I'd had background singers. I said, you didn't. She said, no. She said, are you sure? I said, well, yeah, they called me. They told me to learn.
Okay. Oh, you sing background now.
Yeah. And I stayed up to almost 3 o'clock learning. I know my part. She said, well, nobody told me anything about, she's all, bless your heart. And so, and I realized I'm the only one here. They told me it was going to be three background singers. Here comes Tyler Perry again. And I'm like, oh. And this time he's standing right there next to me. And he was like, tonight, you know, we ready for you. So she started singing. I'm thinking, well, I'm sitting there, and I was the only singer. It was no other singers. So then the guy came to me. He said, Miss Redd, he said, unfortunately, Tyler decided that he was not going to use back. My heart just dropped to the floor. Because now, mind you now, I done called all my friends. All my
I know
family.
That's right.
And everybody was so excited for me. They were like, oh, this is going to be Tony's big break. Oh, my God, Tony. Child, when they told me that Tyler decided not to use background singers and I had, you know, stayed up all night learning all the parts and was so excited, had been to wardrobe, had my makeup done, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so my heart just dropped to the floor. It did. It did.
I know
it did. Sad. I felt so disappointed, and I was hurt. And so they were like, well, Miss Green, we're going to take you back to the room. The guy said, well, because you aren't able to be the background singer, but what we are going to do, we're going to upgrade you, make you an actual actor. He said, but you won't be in the movie. He said, but you will get paid, and you will have credits in the movie. And I said,
that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was your coming out.
Yeah.
That was my next question. We done ran out of time. We're not screaming no more. But I am so glad I asked the question because that was just awesome. I mean, you succeeded in that. Even though you didn't get it, you got credit in this film. You got paid and you met people. It was an experience that nobody else can say
you're
that they had.
That's true. That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying? That is that is really great. I thought you were going to say you met Taraji. I got to meet her.
I love her too.
She's so beautiful.
I do too.
Lord have mercy.
She's awesome. I love her too.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's something.
But
wow.
But that was one of your coming out. But could you just tell everybody, because I don't want people to miss knowing where they can get your music from, and so they can jam like me. Where else can they get your music?
Okay, so I'm also, I heard your last artist, and I was, you know, inspired by his story. But my music is on iTunes, I'm on Deezer, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, MediaNet, Amazon Prime, and every platform out there that, you know, you can purchase music. Oh, a CD Baby. So I'm all you have to do is Google my name and it'll all pop up where, you know, where you can buy my music.
And your own website too. You have your own website.
Yes, realtonyred.com. Mm-hmm. Realtonyred.com,
yes.
And I'm on, you know, all the different, I'm not sure, the last radio show interview I did, I could not call out the names of the social medias that I'm on, but I'm on all, you know, most of the big platforms, just in
case
I can't
say the
name of
it. You can do that here.
I can do that?
We're not
nationally
syndicated.
I wasn't sure.
But you can do
that. Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm sure you're going to get there as well. But,
yes.
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook. I'm on IG, Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn. So I'm on those, you know, those social media sites. You can find me on those or reach out and, you know, contact me and, you know, find my music and the
yes.
things that I have
Thank
going
you so
on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
I
so
appreciate
much.
You
it was a
coming
pleasure.
On, taking the time.
Well,
it was a really fun interview. I enjoyed you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was an honor to be here. I appreciate you so much, Harry.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed night.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Mrs. Toni Red. Go back and listen to this show. Support them. Get their music. Download. Pay for their stuff. You know, you can find them, especially her, at different jazz festivals. And Richard Punch already told you where he plays that, and he does fundraisers, the nonprofit. I'm sure Mrs. Red does as well. I just want to thank them so much. And for everybody that was listening on tonight, I hope this show touched you in some type of way and that you come out of any bad situation or around any negative people that you may be around, and that you come out and become who God has intended for you to be. And that's what I'm working on. So if you'd like to support me, I am back to doing my artwork. You can find it on my website, /artbysheree. If you want to support and buy any of my 17 books, which includes my niece's book, you can go to my website, /books. All the information is up there. If you want to order books, if you want to order custom artwork, please give me a call, text me, or email me. My information is up there. Some of the artwork is available in print, so that will be a cheaper price, but it won't be that cheap because it's not that cheap to be done. But in any case, let me know. If you want to support Diamonds in the Rough, the information is up there as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio, and I am going to take you out with some music. Oh, my mama. She don't know she my mama. She one of my mamas, Dinah Ross, whom I met, and I love her. In spite of all what has been said, this woman has been a trailblazer for African-American women of color who sing long before I was even born. So I'm going to play a little bit of her song, I'm Coming Out.